comment on the order this morning. On that day, they read the book of Moses.
Almost like this. Either it's deeper and deeper into formalism.
socialism, worldliness, heresy, and morality, with partial and temporary resuscitation, till our lives shall go out and not equal to heaven no more, like that of the seven churches of Asia. Or else, we relax back to a form of grace, grounded by the loss of our own abundance and religious liberty, by social calamities, political oppressions, that we are here from our store, fit to take our place as one of the real churches. In other words, just to summarize what he was saying here, every Christian has any sin whatsoever in the nature of sin in the hearts of men knows that the natural tendency of all, he talks about this in terms of maximizing by the natural tendency of institutions, churches, no exception. The natural tendency of institutions is to downgrade and less active. He talks about this a few chapters back in the wrong backslide. This is really all the interfering things in natural things sin. Things naturally disintegrate and less active and maintained. So what we have here in Nehemiah chapter 13. You have this convergence of things that you already explored in the book, the hatred of the world and its deep in the church. The church falls into error and into breaking. And so, as the Lord willing, in the coming new year, shall I be called as a great year to talk about these sermons, the final sermons in the final book. Some of the important issues of the health and vitality of the church that is being established and holiness. But in this sermon, we're going to look at the fact that from which all illness in the church springs, worldliness. Worldliness is the title of our sermon. Warning is often the separation of church and state. Separation of church and world. So our theme this morning is that for the church to do well, it must be on guard against the intrusions of the world. For the church to do well, it must be on guard against the intrusions of the world. Our passage this morning breaks nicely with these sentences. You know, first of all, at verses 1 to 9, that is the ever-present danger of worldly intrusion. The ever-present danger of worldly intrusion. Secondly, verses 10 to 14, which is the ever-present duty of the Lord. Ever-present danger of worldly intrusion. Ever-present duty of the religion. First here, verses 10 to 9, ever-present danger of worldly intrusion. Now, it's a little difficult to describe the exact timeline of these verses, six verses or so, with Nehemiah leaving Jerusalem and back to Artaxerxes and back to Jerusalem. But I think we can talk about those six. Verses 1 to 3 really provide us the textual setup for the explanation of our thoughts. In other words, verses 1 to 3 Nehemiah addressing an issue. Verses 4 to 9, we have the actual occurrence of the issue. Now again, what has happened here is that Nehemiah has returned from a short leave to find Jerusalem once again in spiritual shambles. He expressed the fact that Elijah, the chief priest, this man who becomes appointed, Jerusalem, not just in a house in Jerusalem, but in the very house of God, this roof and temple that had been reserved for storing the grain offerings and other items related to the worship of God. Elijah, the chief priest, they feel this man, this former, this enemy of God, is a corpse into the ruins. So, we learn from this affair several important things about the church and the world. I'm going to give you three of these things here this morning. first of which is this, the church and the world ought to be separate. The church and the world ought to be separate. It's a principle. It's so basic that the only way to visit the scripture is simply not to read scripture. The word says, be holy, that is, be separate. That's not the word you're not holy. So therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Come out from my people, lest you share their sins and receive a place or something of the world. God saved the people for himself, to be holy, to be set apart, to himself, dedicated, and consecrated. Christ has married a bride, and the bride is to be exclusively belonging to her husband. Church is exclusively Christ, no one else. For some reason, when we talk about separation from the world, it becomes a topic of conversation. So often, the modern evangelical church has labeled such a principle fundamentalism. Now, of course, separation from the world can be taken, obviously, like anything, to a realistic extreme. Like many good things that we find in Scripture, the church, and especially Church of the West, has largely forgotten out here that the church is not supposed to be like the world. It is to be different. The church is not to talk and to sound and to think and to be like the world. It is to be different. Because of the meaning we should hide away in the homes and in every tree and every single light of day, or even be sent to the grocery store of unbelievers. God's people ought to be different and noticeably so. It ought to be something that people are able to see that is different about Christians. It's different about the church. Nehemiah returns to learn that the Bible's priests had forgotten this too. The Israel's chain to the church's arm. He had buddied up and enclosed him to God. That man that John Gill calls the inveterate enemy of God. In doing so, he had caused the holy things of God to be defiled, and of God to blaspheme on the nations. As in reading this account for the first time with a totally blank slate, a first-time reader who had been reading my letters mentioned in the past, verses 4 and 5. How could the chief priest have allied himself with this inveterate enemy of God and given it a court in the temple? This is because all the church and the world are to be separate. Second principle here is that the world is constantly trying to infiltrate the church. The world is constantly trying to infiltrate the church. The Lord has said multiple times in this book of Nehemiah, the disposition of the world against the church. We don't need to review that, but something you need once again to understand. The nature of sin of the world is such that it cannot leave the church alone. The world cannot let the church be. You see this in everyday life. You see how the world tolerates Muslims and Buddhists and New Agers, atheists, and even partner with them in various endeavors. And they partner with each other. And they say that, well, what you believe is fine with me. But you notice that the attitude almost always changes when it comes to convicted biblical Christianity. It's no longer, well, you have your beliefs, I have mine. But you're wrong. You go away by force necessary. Of course, I say biblical Christianity because the world feels no threat by a compromised Christian. That's not forever.
before. In fact, I wrote this a long time ago, for you before this. The method of attack, especially today, the method of attack is not always, or even mostly, for physical force or physical threats from the outside, but the tactic is most often infiltration. See it with Elijah. Okay, I'll read verse 23. I know we didn't read it, but it says also that Elijah's grandson, how old is Elijah? If you divide a quarter of the tenth of Elijah's grandson, Mary, sent back his daughter. This man was along with Elijah, the enemy of Israel. So just as his way, ancient garden, this is the same name, this is even druid. He's a God here, but he's a good way into Israel. So, even to God, continue to be so good way. He's a good way to the church. So, the point here is to be always, brothers and sisters, always on your front. One of the primary points of entry for the world today in the church is it's not necessarily physical. It's not to walk into church buildings necessarily. But it's by the way of our thinking, by the way of our speaking. If the world can change the way the church speaks, if the world can change the way of speaking, use its words, vocabulary, change the words that she's not allowed to use. They can promise a better way to positions of power by making people think they are free to write their rules and she's not moving. That is what they will do. And the reality is that such traitors never present themselves as such. The devil masquerades as an issue of life. Often the enemies of the church appear as friendly demons on the same side. And yet, remember Paul's orders in Romans 16. He says that such people, they speak the hearts of the unsuspecting, but well, talk by their words. They ever come up and say, hey, I'm an enemy, let me in. Why would smooth talk? Paul's orders speak. So, brothers and sisters, my encouragement to you, one of my encouragements is to be well versed in scripture and in doctrine. You need to be able to tell when something is off. Because if you are not able to do that, you will be on the next. It's Charles Spurgeon who presently said that discernment is not necessarily the ability to tell truth from error, or to tell right from wrong. But discernment is the ability to tell right from almost right. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves like Jacob. From the story of Jacob, he went to his uncle Laban and wanted his daughter Rachel for marriage. What happened? He thought he was married Rachel, then on her way out, he woke up and behold, big. It's difficult to find ourselves if we are not well versed. If we need one thing for the next thing you know, you wake up and behold, it's liberalism. Behold, it's pride. Behold, to whatever other source of deep existence. Promote against truth. The world is constantly trying to infiltrate the church. The third good find I'm here. I'm discovered as a danger of worldly intrusion. We see how the church and the world are always separate. We see the world is constantly trying to infiltrate the church. Find I'm here. The failure to address the worldliness of the church will lead to its demise. The failure to address the worldliness in the church will lead to its demise. Now, to be clear, I'm not speaking on a grand scale, but against the devil will never prevail against the church. The church will never cease to exist. church of his life will never be destroyed. Remember, I'm speaking in terms of the maintenance, preservation, and protection of the visible institutional church. Because of the invisible church, it's the true church of Jesus Christ, the elect of the world, will never see the demise. And so often we see invisible churches. Often we think something of demise. No coincidence in this chapter that this is where Israel practically unravels. It begins with this matter of a pagan enemy in the temple of God. The point is this. As the fury of the church goes, so goes everything else. The church needs to be good at fine things. The church needs to become a green and also honest. We need to be able to look at the civic good and all those things are our rights and should be pursued. Church may have all those outward signs of helpfulness, holiness, and purity in its core. False religion is worthless and lost. This is why the world will hate you, especially hated Jesus Christ. It's the work of all of us to live on the facade of genuine religion and fire in God. Jesus is the deacon, active, and you heard what I heard. But Jesus does what he does. Jesus is the holiness of his Father. But he poured for us his accolades that he pursued by the world. All the great gifts that he came from the world. Because he's a man utterly unfollowed and that is a progressive nature. Now, we have not a progressive nature. Is the first thing to reform here. The is ministry of the temple. The Levites here in the first century before they can notice the word of God merely in just a moment, but notice that they had gone away. They had gone back to their duties or to their homes outside the temple here. Most commentators and some preachers don't place verses 1 to 9 with verses 10 to 15. My offering a short prayer to God saying, remember me, O God, for what I'm doing. Now, it's not difficult to see how the problems of these two halves here, verses 14, could be very interrelated. Elias was a priest who was too busy studying up to Tobiah to ensure how the work of the temple, the work of the Levites, was going on, uninterrupted and hindered. He was giving to like the storerooms and offerings and sacrifices on the way to movement. The point is that they weren't where they should have been. So people expect to go out into their homes and country people to find support for their work. They weren't being supported. They had to go garner support. In other words, when the world infiltrates the church, history of church suffers. And vice versa, history of church suffers. World creates men. So to return back to Nehemiah's repertory, the first point here, and that is that God blesses those who will make his word above all else. You reflect upon the character of Nehemiah, the church, God blesses us. It's the will and the word of all the hearts. But the the sorcerer of Nine here in verses 1 and 2, where it says, it was found written in the regular of the law, and it was found written in the Ananite, or all of us have ever promised to be sons of God, because they have not had the children of Israel, but the water, but rather had hired Balaam. Person, however, our God turned their curse into blessing. But the curse is the dual purpose of both, and the biblical and historical backgrounds for the separation of the church and the world, Israel and the world, but also giving a precious promise for enduring these sorrows and trials of the world brings this attempt to improve. The family has said that this world has believed. It is like a first existence. Time does not. The entire world, if you're a Christian, church, the corporately. Notice Nehemiah's reaction when he discovered Elijah had gone to fight on verses 7 and 8. He says, I think Jerusalem discovered the evil that Elijah had done for Josiah, and he agreed with me. Literally, what he did. He walked away and didn't pull the problem. Rather, he threw out all the household goods of Josiah from the room. He made the rooms and brought back into the world of God, I will not from his sins. Takes us back to what we saw in the first part of chapter 9, doesn't it? Quite a while ago. But we're talking about godly sorrow. The people of Israel would keep the law of God, hearing it read, repeating it, doesn't it? Church ought to have the same reaction, physical reaction, when the world intruders. Luke says, when I learned what Elijah had done for Josiah, it was a very evil, greatly sore, very good. Brothers and sisters, this calls in to you from the church. That's a whole. Thank you. ministry of the church is, from the ministry side, absent, or lazy or proud or prayerless, or from the congregation side, unsupported, the people that are not prayed for are made difficult. By the fall, the house of God becomes neglected. We overcome with all manner of difficulties, worldliness, and sin. Times of preaching for repeating. The brothers and sisters, your congregation, please support your fellows. Pray for them. Encourage them. Admonish them. And be honest. Officers. Provide the grace of God to fulfill our ministry with zeal, with boldness, with faithfulness, with ability. Maintain the peace of prayer as well as the well-being of the church. But all of our hearts are burdened to my presentation. Sometimes we go back to our own fields for lack of provision, certainly, lack of support, lack of encouragement. But we must endure for the sake of the word of Christ. As the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, we are married to Jesus Christ. The church of this is my life. I admire and admire of sin and slavery. Well, all you wrong of your sin and misery, there was nothing. That would make it desirable in this life. In fact, everything that would cause repulsion. And it said, come, be my wife. Put all your filthy things. You close up the white robes of the Lord. The peace and white worldliness. Such a great sin ought to be considered grievous thing. Before the temple of the Holy Spirit, having all of Christ, the precious love will make the point of every sin, holy and separate. So, what does it say? What is the voice of Christ saying about it? It's the fearless. She's a nice mom. The purpose of the world. She's not just a gift, but she's a nice world. All of us are fine partners. The gift, her gift. What she thinks is her world, her profession, her doctrine to see, her voice to say. That's just the question. Away from straight, drawn in from what the world kind and awful. We pray that you would open our eyes to see these things over the moment. We would cast out Tobiah from our midst. We would not tolerate the worldliness in our hearts, in our lives, in our affections, our minds, and behavior. Lord, we know that we can't do this ourselves, but we need your help. So, Lord, we pray that forgive us of our worldliness, forgive us of our sins. Sanctify us and give us the strength. Let's prepare you. Pray that we can do this.